You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We start off the month of June with a personal finance segment, and we're taking a look at the cover that you might need for critical illnesses or a dread disease, otherwise known as severe illness cover. I wonder if some individuals might be needing that following this past weekend's events. Nonetheless, we move on and we take a look at the serious side of it and just what you need to know around this particular insurance policy that you can obtain for yourselves. I'm joined on the line by Gareth Collier, who is a director at Crew Invest, to take a look at this and try and unpack what it means. Good evening, Gareth. Thanks so much for taking the time. What is severe illness cover? How does it differ from things like medical aid or any of the other covers that are out there at the moment?
Yeah, evening, Jimmy. I think the key difference here is that your severe illness cover is paid on the diagnosis of such a disease. So that's primarily your bigger ticket items being your cancers, your heart attacks, your strokes. Those tend to make up around about 80% of dread disease or severe illness claims. Whereas your medical aid is governed by sort of the Medical Aid Act and is there to provide for your hospital cover and your treatment, and that your severe illness dread disease policy is really sort of a cash insurance, where if you're diagnosed with one of these illnesses, you're going to be paid a cash lump sum, and then you're kind of free to use that cash for whatever you need.
Gareth, what does the actual cover then cover? I mean, you touched on the fact that you can use it for things that you need, but what are some of those smaller things, or what are some of the actual benefits that you can enjoy with this particular cover that might not be covered by other types of policies that you have in place?
Yeah, look, I think it's a challenging one, because, you know, we like to think and assume that the likes of our medical aid and our gap cover are most likely going to cover the vast majority of our medical expenses. If we have one of these illnesses, there are those occasions where there might be some shortfalls on those expenses. So then obviously the primary purpose is to make sure that you do have additional cash to pay for the medical treatment that you need. Of course, in the more extreme examples, you might have particularly like the likes of your cancer, maybe you have something that's particularly rare, and maybe certain treatment plans are not approved yet by the medical aid schemes. Maybe they're a little bit experimental, and thus you know if you want to go that route, you do need to pay for it privately. And of course then these policies come in very handy to give you the cash for that. On the other side of the table, you know, if you in a situation where your medical aid, your gap cover are taking care of, let's say, all of your medical bills, maybe you've got the likes of an income protection policy in place as well, so that while you're on treatment and you can't work, you're still earning an income from that, you've received this lump sum of cash from your dread disease policy, you might find that there's other sort of lifestyle adjustments and changes you need to make. Maybe you suffer a stroke and now you need money for adjustments to your home to make it a little bit more accessible. Maybe you need things like wheelchairs or other sort of physical mobility aids. You possibly need specialized medication or physiotherapies. So there could be a lot of other sort of running costs beyond just the treatment of the disease itself, which may sort of partially or maybe not be covered by your medical aid at all. And in those events, having this additional cash for those treatments and those covers is going to be very, very helpful.
Gareth, how expensive is this additional cash? How costly is this kind of a policy relative to things like a gap cover or a medical aid? And is it a must-have for individuals? Because at the end of the day, you're already paying for medical aid, you're paying for life insurance, you're paying for gap cover. Is this another thing or another insurance policy that you can afford to have or can afford to do without?
Well, I think if you've got the likes of your medical aid and your gap cover in place, you know, with any insurance benefit, you know, be this a dread disease benefit or even your car insurance, you think about insurance, what you're paying for is peace of mind. So the level of that peace of mind is obviously going to be determined by your budget. You may have a very specific need. Maybe you have a family history of a particular cancer that pops up, or maybe a heart disease or something like that. So the probability of you landing up with one of these severe illnesses is potentially quite high. Having said that, because these benefits are claimed fairly frequently, like anything that's on a sort of a risk pooling system, you know, the more frequent the claims, the higher the premiums are going to be. So relatively speaking, if you look at your various insurances that you can take under your life insurance and your disability and your severe illness, it tends to be probably rand for rand the most expensive one of those big three. However, it does cover you, it can cover you quite comprehensively, in that you can be in a situation where you have multiple claims for this benefit. So let's say, for example, you spend too much time in the sun and you land up having to claim for skin cancer one day, and then 12 years later you suffer a stroke and it's completely unrelated to your cancer. You would then be in a position to actually claim again under your dread disease policy. So you might have a specific rand amount that you covered for on your policy, but unlike, you know, the likes of your life insurance where you're only going to ever claim that once, you may have multiple claims under your severe illness, which does tend to then push up the costing of such a benefit.
And in terms of the actual benefit itself, is it worthwhile to have as many things covered, or is there a way where you can sort of use some of your other policies and reduce the financial burden on this one? And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, are there alternatives to having just one specific severe illness policy, or can you absorb some of the things in your other policies?
Well, look, I mean, these benefits are very specific. So they're specifically around your dread disease illnesses that are going to occur. So it's unlikely that any of the other policies that are going to specifically cover for it. You know, you might have an instance where you suffer a stroke and you pass away from that stroke. You know, obviously then you could argue that your life insurance would step in at that point, but you don't know. You know, obviously the intention is to, you know, have an illness and recover from it. So, you know, in terms of cross subsidization, probably the most direct is to say, look, primarily make sure that you've got your medical aid in place first. You know, if you look at the history of where these dread disease policies came from, it actually came as a little stopgap for people from an affordability standpoint. You know, if you think back in the 90s, there wasn't hospital plans in those versions. It was either almost a fully comprehensive medical aid or nothing at all. And if you were one of those people who maybe couldn't afford a full-blown medical aid, but you did have a few hundred rand a month that you could afford to maybe give yourself some insurance cover against some of these dread diseases so that you could get this lump sum payment so that you could go and pay for private treatment, that was sort of the initial intention of these policies. Whereas now, you know, the medical aid is a lot more sort of nuanced in terms of the level of benefit that you can get. So you can sort of blend these two together. Having said that, even within the dread disease policy itself, you know, there's different versions. So they allow you to have sort of the most comprehensive that's going to have a catch-all benefit. It's going to cover pretty much anything that could pop up. It's going to cover all of your main claims at sort of the highest claim level. And if it does become an affordability conversation, then you can always take ones which are maybe more severity-based. So, you know, cancer is an easy one. You know, if you're a stage 4 cancer, maybe they pay out 100% of the benefit. But if you're only a stage 1 cancer, maybe it's only a 25% payment of the benefit. Obviously, you know, whereas if you're in a comprehensive version and whether you're a stage 1 or stage 4, you're going to get 100% of the payment. The financial risk to the insurer is larger on one than the other. So the premium is going to be higher on one than the other. So there are various means and considerations to take when structuring your dread disease benefit. But again, it's all about opportunity cost, you know. So if you're looking at managing the premium, we've obviously got to be aware of the fact that we're probably going to forego some of the more comprehensive benefits in the policy.
Gareth, what about waiting periods? I know a lot of these policies that you take, you mentioned this a little earlier when you said that for some of the things you're looking to cover, they might be hereditary and they might run in the family. Does that then increase your waiting period before you are then covered? Should you then be applying for these things once you've found out that you might be at risk? How does that affect your waiting periods?
Yeah, so look, waiting periods, there's typically something called a survival period within the policy. So generally, if you for argument's sake, if you put the policy in place on the 1st of June, you tend to be covered immediately from the 1st of June, but they will have these enduring survival periods. So a lot of the insurers will say, look, if you suffer one of these dread diseases, let's say it's a stroke or a heart attack, and you need to survive for 14 days before the policy actually becomes payable. If you pass away within those 14 days, then there's no claim on the dread disease benefit, and then they would look at the life insurance benefit. Some of the insurers don't have such a survival period, and you know, and would land up paying you both. Some of them are as short as 7 days. Most of them historically tend to be around about 14 days, though. So you just got to check the terms and conditions on the policy. And then just talking about sort of family history and that, obviously, when you apply for any of these policies, you're always going to go through a medical underwriting process. So that's where they're going to assess you. They're going to ask you about your family history. They're going to ask you about your personal history. And it's quite likely that if you've had scares in the past with any of these dread diseases, you may get a general waiting period. So they might say, look, we'll cover you, but maybe for the first 12 months, you've had issues with your heart in the past. Maybe we won't cover you for any heart-related diseases for the first 12 months. Or they could say, look, your history of heart problems is such that we'll give you the policy. However, we're going to exclude any heart-related claims. However, they'll still cover you for cancer and that. So again, when you go through the process, it is an application for cover. You then go through the medical underwriting, and from there, they'll usually come back with a set of final sort of terms that they're willing to take you on for the policy.
Survival period, that's certainly something I've learned that's new around what you need to be looking out for. But speak to a financial advisor, understand how this particular type of cover can be best integrated into your existing portfolio and your existing financial planning needs. After all, you don't want to find yourself without it should you need it. We'll leave it at that, Gareth. Thanks so much for those insights. Gareth Collier, Director at Crewe Invest, joining me to discuss the critical illness cover or the severe illness cover and what it all means.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.